Hope everybody had a good Turkey Day. There was once a family that lived in the country, just outside a small town in the Midwest. The family had a teenage boy that liked to escape from a second-story window at night by climbing down an old fruit tree, and then he would meet up in town with his friends. One night at dinner, the father announced that the next day he had to cut down the old fruit tree because it had not had any fruit for several years. That night, the boys and his friends purchased a bushel of apples and in darkness tied fruit to the branches. The next morning, the father was shouting to his wife, "Hey Mary, I can't believe my eyes. The old fruit tree that was barren for years is now covered with apples. It must be a miracle from God, because it used to be a peach tree." Too bad the teen boys had not noticed what kind of fruit had been on the tree before. But it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because the father knew that tree had not produced fruit anymore, and it had to be cut down. Brethren, what comes to your mind when somebody says the fruits of the Holy Spirit? The fruits of the Holy Spirit. Do you think about them as qualities that we are supposed to develop, that others can see and feel from us? Or are they something that just drops down on you after baptism and makes you shine? So the title of my sermon is The Fruits of the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to go through some scriptures and discuss and define the fruits of the Holy Spirit and what they mean to us in the church today, and whether they have been given or earned, or perhaps made after years of obedience to God and living His way of life and looking forward to the world tomorrow. There is one special verse in Galatians. This book is based on a letter from Apostle Paul to Galena. Paul was trying to tell them he was still in authority of the church, and there were some Jews trying to take over the church and poison the church with wrong teaching and tell every man they had to be circumcised to be in one of God's people. He was trying to help them. That's why parts of this book come across stern. Yet he was trying to be tender and teach them. There is a lot of instruction about faith and works and what the church needed to be doing, what each individual in the church needed to be doing. And we know, brethren, that this is definitely written for us today to apply for our lives, every moment of our life. Of course, I'm referring to Galatians 5:22, where all these fruits of the Holy Spirit are listed. But first, we need to set up the chapter. In some Bible translations, verse 1 through 6 are called the Christian Liberty section. Christian Liberty. Verse 7 through 15 are described as love fulfills the law. Love fulfills the law. Verse 16 through 18 are called walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And verse 19 through 21 talks about works of the flesh. The flesh. Which brings us to verse 22. Here are the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, listed one right after another in bold numbering. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In our Bible, it tells us what God the Father wants to transmit and put in our lives. Today we'll be discussing the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. We know there are also gifts of the Holy Spirit. And no human being gets to choose, but they are indeed gifts from God. God wants all of us to enter in a covenant with Him so that He can begin the process of molding, shaping, and transforming us into the exact image of Jesus Christ, His Son, and Himself. He wants to make us into a better, more teachable person. That's very important. He wants to transform us by the renewing of our minds. He wants to put the right thinking into our thought process. So our job today will be to get into the Word of each one of these and find out exactly what God is going to want to change about each and every one of us. We need to find out exactly what godly qualities God will want you to try to put into your personality and what quality He wants you to try to put away. When God the Father spells out 9 specific qualities that are coming directly from His Holy Spirit, then He is really letting you know the extreme importance of these 9 fruits. These 9 fruits are major fruits and qualities that are coming directly from God Himself. Every Christian should do the best they can to work with the Holy Spirit in getting all 9 of these fruits worked into their personality. Maybe not at once, but perhaps we can start off with one or two and work on a new one each day. So let's look at Galatians 5, verse 22. We're going to look at each one of these spiritual fruits and translate them into modern words and then talk about how we can put them into our lives and be lights and example for others. Very important. Before we get into the definition of each of these 9 fruits, let's begin with the following. Let's look at the word spirit that is used here. The word spirit. It is with a capital S, which means these 9 fruits are coming directly from the Holy Spirit, not ourselves. What this means is God's love, God's peace, God's joy, and God's goodness can start to be transmitted right into our personality. These are His divine nature and personal traits that will start to move in the core of our personality. Think about what the outcome and what this means, brethren. That God the Father allowing us to share in a part of His divine nature by allowing His Holy Spirit to be transmitted and put these 9 divine qualities right into our soul and our personality. That is why God the Father is telling us in these verses that these 9 fruits are coming directly from Himself, the Holy Spirit, so that we can fully all appreciate the magnitude of such an experience. Jesus has already told us that He is the vine, and we are His branches. The branches draw their life from the vine, not vice versa. Just as the branch draws its life from the vine, so too we must draw our life directly from Jesus. Jesus will release His divine life directly into us through the Holy Spirit in the exact same way that the vine will release the life of the tree into the branches. Think about that. In one short but incredible, powerful scripture, God the Father had given all of us in an incredible revelation on what can go on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm for those who are willing to work with Him. Think about that. Let's go on now to describe what each of these nine fruits are all about and give physical and spiritual definitions for each one of them. If we had to rank all the above fruits in order of importance, then the quality of love would have to be number one. That is why it's listed as the first fruit in this verse. This first fruit is love. Love. And we are going to assign to tomato to be the fruit of love. A tomato has four chambers, like a human heart, and most tomatoes are red. Tomatoes are supposed to be healthy and good for the heart, too. Tomatoes are the most often used fruit in the world. And so, too, is the fruit of love. And therefore, it is the most sought after fruit. But what's a good definition of love? What is a good definition of love? It is actually such a hard word to define. That is why the Greeks gave it three words and definitions. The first one, of course, is agape, a moral or spiritual type of love. And a good example of this is God's love expressed toward humanity. Divine spiritual love supplied by God's Holy Spirit. There are so many unconverted people in this world that do not have this love, brethren. God wants to give every one of them that love. Let's begin with a scripture that talks about agape love. Let's turn to 1 John 4, verse 8. 1 John 4, verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We don't have to turn there, but John 13, verse 34 and 35, I give a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us, and that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The second type of love is Philadelphia love. The love of friendship, brotherly love, love of parents, or child to each other. 1 John 4, verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And our third type of love is eros, sexual love between a husband and a wife. Mr. Beller talked about this in detail in his sermon a few weeks ago, so we won't go into the detail very much about it. Although this word is not mentioned in the Bible, it is portrayed, even talked about in the Bible, in the Song of Solomon's. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talked about people getting married and containing that passion in marriage. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8 and 9, now unto the unmarried and the widow I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they shall marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Here are some different definitions on what love is. Unselfish concern for another. Brotherly concern. The object of brotherly concern or affection. Showing others a Christ-like love, which is the foundation of all love. High esteem, which God has for his human children, and the high regard which they, in return, should have for him and other people. To have affection for someone, to like, to be a friend, the love of brothers for each other. One of the main messages that come through loud and clear from studying our Bible is the extreme importance that God the Father is placing on that everyone learn how to love him and love one another, and even go as far as be able to love our enemies, those who try and hurt us. Our second fruit is joy. Joy. Joy can be represented by a strawberry. When you bite into a real ripe, juicy strawberry, it can burst and get juice all over you. What begins on the inside spills over to the outside. Joy regulates from the inside out, first with a pleasant thought, then a smile on our face, then a leap in our step, a confidence about our life. Strawberries are the only fruit with seeds on the outside rather than on the inside. So because of the outer joy that we see in one another, that's why a strawberry can represent joy. What is a good definition of joy? And how do human beings feel or experience joy? Think about that a minute. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4, verse 4 and 13. 1 Peter 4, verse 4 and 13. But rejoice to the extent that you, partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. In this rough and tough world we live in, with all the crime, disorder, and the bad things that can happen to any one of us at any time, many Christians have lost a lot of their joy in their life. If you work with the public or spend a lot of time out in the public, you have noticed how people hardly smile anymore, or say hello when they pass by, or when you're standing in line. It's sad that no one seems to be happy anymore, and everyone seems to be carrying around the weight of the world on their shoulders. We know why that is, brethren. We know that Satan is working very hard, I mean hard, to get and keep everyone down or in a bad temper or mood, especially me and you. Again, with the imperfections of our fallen nature, and then you combine that with how many people react differently to all kinds of trouble. Some Christians have literally had most, if not all, their joy knocked right out from underneath them. That is why these verses from Galatians are so powerful and so needed by every one of us today. In this verse, God is telling us that He can transmit some of His godly and divine qualities right into the middle of us, like filling up a new car with His first tank of gas. Many of God's people need a fresh infusion of His divine qualities due to the leaks that have occurred as a result of some of the beatings His people have taken during the course of their life. And the quality of joy, it's much needed quality in this day and age. No matter how much of a beating you have taken in your life, God can still fully heal, deliver, and restore you if you are willing to work with Him in this healing process. One of the things that God can fully restore in you is the joy in Him. And not only can the Lord fully restore what joy you used to have in Him, but He can also increase it to such a much greater degree, with the quality of joy being one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Here are some different definitions of what joy is all about. Gladness of heart. The happy state that results from knowing and serving God. That deep, abiding, inner rejoicing in the Lord. To be happy and glad all the time. We don't want to turn to the scripture, brethren, but we know that we are commanded to have joy and rejoice at the Feast of Tabernacles that we just observed. Each year, brethren, doesn't it seem like it takes more energy and faith to leave our job, our homes, our families, and go celebrate God's feast with extreme joy? We should not be worried or anxious about anything at home or work, but we need to pray and have faith to put those things in God's hands before we leave. Let's turn to Nehemiah 8, verse 9 and 10. Nehemiah 8, verse 9 and 10. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and the scribes, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord you God. Do not mourn, nor weep." Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. These verses say that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is why it is so important that every Christian should have some level of God's joy operating in them every moment of their life. Without God's joy operating in your life, things can begin to dry up. Nothing is ever fun anymore. Everything can start to become a chore. Before you know it, you will want to start to withdraw from others and life in general. The joy of the Lord can really give you an incredible surge of strength in your daily walk with God, especially when you have to take on some really tough situations. That is why each Christian should work very closely with the Holy Spirit in not only getting Him to release His joy into your system, but to keep it running constantly on a very regular and a constant basis. Realize that God can transmit this divine quality right into your personality. And this will be His joy, not your joy. Once it starts to flow up into you, and once God starts to release His joy into your system, you won't be able to help but feel it. And once you're able to start feeling it again, it will become much easier for you to learn how to walk back in your daily walk with the Lord. Think about that, what I just said. If you don't have joy. Alright, our third fruit is peace. I'm going to drink this other water. Steve never did since he drank mine. Third fruit can represent peace is the banana. The fruit of the banana is found on the inside, just like peace. Though things may get rough on the outside, and though the skin is tough, softness lies within. Bananas are full of potassium, and that can keep blood pressure at a healthy level also. Peace was a hard word to find a good definition of for today. This is another hard fruit to obtain in this Satan-filled world. Let's turn to Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. and the God of love and peace will be with you. This is another major quality that we need in our life, especially with all the uncertainty of all this life and never knowing what's going to happen next. Jobs are no longer as secure as they used to be. You never know when that company you work for may be bought out and your job may be gone in a flash. Half of our marriages are still ending up in divorce. We are all forced to constantly live under some type of threat, whether it is a personal attack or stormy weather. Financial, too. We never know when or where that next attack is going to come from. With all this activity that we are forced to deal with on a daily basis, it becomes very easy to lose your sense of peace, especially your peace in the Lord. This is one of the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can really help you pick up the slack if you start losing your sense of peace, especially over the stormy clouds that could come against you or major trials. Realize that the Holy Spirit can help you have peace and that God can give it to you in a great abundance. Once God's peace starts to flow in your mind, your soul, and your emotions, it is really, as the Bible says, a peace that surpasses all human understanding. Especially when that peace comes in right in the middle of a severe storm that you are going through. Here is how the qualities of peace is described in the dictionary. The pleasant and the experience of right relationships. A sense of well-being and fulfillment that comes from God in His dependence on His presence. The inner tranquility and the pose of the Christian who trusts is in God through Jesus. Tranquility, rest, harmony. The quality of peace should be one of the main qualities that you should try and get in your thoughts every day. Without the peace of God operating in your life, you could become very easily rattled, shaken, and tormented, and discouraged first time if any trouble comes along. Our fourth fruit is long-suffering. This fruit can be represented by an avocado. It takes exactly 9 months for an avocado to grow, an avocado from blossom to a ripened fruit. So the avocado could be the fruit of long suffering, our patience, because the avocado blossoms need great patience to become a good ripened fruit. Romans 2 verse 4. Oh, do you despise the richness of goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? 2 Corinthians 6 verse 6 says, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. One of the main definitions of the word long-suffering is referring to patience. And patience is another solely needed quality in this fast-paced world that we live in every day. Just watch the people standing in line at the grocery store or your local fast food restaurant and watch how short some of the people's fuses are now today. They blow. Road rage is another major situation look at someone the wrong way, and they want to try and take your head off. Many people have been killed or seriously injured because someone lost his temper over the most silliest thing there is. With this fast-paced way of our society, many people had their fuses shortened up, and it thus takes a very little to set it off. As a result, many people have very little patience in their life nowadays. For Christians, this poses a major dilemma. One of the major ways that God shows patience with us by giving us an instruction, our book, the Bible, and then gives us many chances to learn from our mistakes. That's a loving God. His ways are not our ways. And the one thing you may find out very easy on, that His ways is that He works on a slower time frame than we do. You will find out yourself easily losing your patience with Him and how He wants to work things out. Believe me, you don't lose your patience with the Father. You don't. God operates on a much different time frame than we are supposed to do. You will really have to work with the Holy Spirit on this particular quality to get it properly worked into your personality. The reason is that our own human nature will start to act up and try to override the patience and the long-suffering that the Holy Spirit will try to transmit to you. At times, it may become the battles of wills, not your will against His. But once the Holy Spirit starts to work this quality into your personality, then you have to try and move with it and allow it to work into your mind and emotions. If you do that, then His patience will start to override your impatience. And before you know it, your fuses will start to lengthen, and you will not lose your patience like you used to do. Here are some different definitions for the word long-suffering. Forbearance, patience, endurance. Forbearance under ill will, with no thought of retaliation. Steadfastness, forbearance under suffering and endurance in the face of trials. That one's important. The ability to endure persecution and ill treatment. With all the ways of these definitions or reading, you can really see why we need the patience and the suffering of the Holy Spirit to operate in our personality nowadays. Especially when we are forced to face any kind of a trouble or a trial. Sometimes it will be the patience and the long-suffering of the Holy Spirit that will be the only thing that will give you the ability to last the entire length of a bad trial. Learn how to ride and flow with the patience of the Holy Spirit in your daily walk with the Lord. And then you will be able to enter into a more restful, peaceful state in your mind and emotions. Our fifth fruit, kindness. Hope I'm not watery. We all have heard the saying, what life gives us lemons, we need to make lemonade. So the lemon can represent kindness. Because when life is sour, we need the sweetness of kindness. And lemons have a lot of vitamin C, which can help heal faster. Like kindness can bring healing to our hearts. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. As a result of people being impatient, having short fuses, and with everybody in a hurry, many people have lost the ability to treat others with kindness and respect. A kind word, a kind action to another person can really do wonders for them. When you really study the life of Jesus in the New Testament, you can really tell how he always was with other people. Jesus, without question, was the ultimate role model for all of us, of someone who fully walked and operated in all nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. The quality of kindness will go hand in hand with the quality of love. Once the Holy Spirit starts to transmit his love into you, the quality of kindness will flow right along with it. It will then become much easier for you to be able to be kind to others. Once the love of God starts to flow into your personality, you cannot help but to be more kind to others if God's love is flowing through you. Shall I repeat that? You cannot help but to be kind to others if God's love is flowing through you. That is why the quality of love has to be the main quality that you really concentrate on getting from the Holy Spirit. Once the love of God starts to flow and operate through you to touch others, many of the other fruits will start to flow right after each other like a domino effect. Here are some of the different definitions of what real kindness is all about. Quality, state of being kind. Steadfast love that maintains relationships through gracious aids in times of need. Goodness of heart. Being of service to one another. Pleasant love for mankind. Acts of kindness. Goodness in action. Sweetness of disposition. Gentleness in dealing with others. As you can see from some of these different definitions, this is a very beautiful quality to have. And we must have it in our personality for the Holy Spirit. Not only that will you be able to touch others with this godly quality, but you will be able to touch yourself too. Because you will feel so much better about yourself if you can learn how to treat others with so much more kindness and respect in your daily dealings and affairs with them. Our sixth fruit is goodness. Goodness. The apple can represent this fruit because God is so very good to us. And he has created 7,000 different type of apples. You know, I didn't know that either. There are 7,000 different type of apples. I had to really look at that. Apples are said to be an extreme remedy for wrinkles and other skin issues. Eating an apple is a good way to stay awake. And consider much healthier than a cup of coffee. Apples were given to teachers over a century ago because teachers did not make very much money. So families generously give apples to teachers to have food or to sell them to make money. It's interesting. A definition of example of goodness. Kindness, generous, the best part of anything. Romans 2 verse 4 says, "Oh, do you despise the richness of goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 11 says, "Therefore we should always pray for you that our God will count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the works with power." The Bible says in Romans 2 verse 4, that is the goodness of God that will lead sinners to repentance and salvation. The quality of goodness is another real powerful quality to have in your life. This fruit has a real drawing power to it. Not only does the goodness of God draw people to Him, but this fruit of goodness working in a believer can also draw people directly to God through us. Think about that. Spirit-filled Christians who have many of these fruits operating in their life are like a magnet to those who may be searching for a better way to live and to learn more about God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 15 and 16, Matthew 5, 15 and 16, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." This plainly says that we are to carry His light, His Holy Spirit, and let that light shine before man and not hide it. Part of His light comes from these nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. However, there is something extra special about this fruit of the goodness. Many non-believers carefully watch and study us Christians because they know there is something really different about us. Here are some different definitions of what this quality is. Ready to do good works. Love in action. Kindness in action. Good attitude that is ready to help others. Willing to do good. Being generous. Quality of being kind or doing good. Our seventh fruit is faithfulness. Faithfulness. What if we use the orange as the fruit of faithfulness? Here in Florida, a lot of us have an orange tree in our backyard. I find it very interesting that almost as soon as the ripe oranges are ready for picking and start falling off, it seems like the new one, the little green orange, is already forming again. The tree owner can have faith in that tree to have new fruit for next season, so he can already see it forming. Romans 3, verse 2 and 4. "Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the orals of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged." In this present day world and times we live in, half of all the marriages end in divorce, and many people getting hurt by people they thought they could trust. This quality is one that is really needed in our day and time too. This quality is only not needed in our relationship, is also needed in our relationship with God, but it is also needed in a relationship with our family and our friends. Once you have been baptized and have entered into that relationship with God, one of the first things you have to understand and obey is holding fast and staying faithful to God the rest of your life. Here are some of the different Bible dictionary definitions of faithfulness. Fidelity, which makes one hold true to his promise and remain faithful to his task. Steadfast, dedicated, dependable, and worthy of trust. Unchanging, loyal, and stable. Don't you think that in this Satan-filled world, where most people are caring about themselves, their only goal and ambition is to get as much as they can out of their own life? This quality is one that is in very, very short supply. Most people are lucky if they manage to make two or three good, loyal friends in their lifetime. This one quality that God the Father is really watching us for, to see if we stay true, loyal, and faithful to Him. And who will stay true, loyal, and faithful to your friends and family that you have brought into your own life? The flesh is strong, especially in the areas of wanting to satisfy its lust for the material things of this world. This quality is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and we need the faithful of the Holy Spirit to keep us loyal to God and the family and the church. Jesus gave Peter the ability and the power to be able to walk on water in Matthew 14. Let's turn to Matthew 14, 28 through 30. Matthew 14, 28 through 30. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30. And when he was that the wind was blistering, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." What was the one thing that Peter had to do before he could leave that boat and begin walking on that water? Didn't he have to have the faithfulness in the Holy Spirit, working through Jesus and himself? We need that, brethren. It's the exact same way in our life and our daily walk with God. We have to have faith in God and let the Holy Spirit work in us to change and transform us. We have to be like Peter and be willing to live and walk in that faith before it can really start to work and change our life and draw us closer to God. Our eighth fruit is gentleness. This fruit is the peach. I picked the peach for the obvious reason that the peach skin is so very fragile and soft. You probably never heard the expression that bruised like a peach. So we respond to other people and treat them gentle like a peach. Then perhaps they will become gentle also. So the means, for example, the next time we encounter someone along the road that wants to act silly, just let them go. In Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritually restored in such a one in a spirit of gentleness, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted." Philippians 4, verse 5 says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Many men may draw back from this next fruit, which is the quality of gentleness. However, when Jesus was a human being on this earth, he showed a gentleness quality. This is why we study his life and actions very carefully and see how he handles the different type of people. There were times that he engaged and set people straight, like he did with some of the scribes and Pharisees. But there was other times he dealt with people very gentle, with kindness and love. The quality of gentleness is a major quality we need in this world today, and that's an understatement. So many people have been beaten up and hurt in their dealings with other people. That just a gentle word, a gentle touch to another human being can really open up a person to want to know more about God and live in his way of life. Here are some definitions of gentleness. Mildness combined with tenderness. Kind, controlled strength. Even-tempered. Balanced in spirit. Someone that has their passion under control. Reasonable, fair, and considerate. Someone with their power, I read that one, willing to pardon, correct faults, and one who rules his spirit very well through God. Our last fruit, the last fruit of the Holy Spirit, is self-control. Uh-oh. This could be represented by grapefruit. Why grapefruit? Several decades ago, someone came up with a grapefruit diet that claimed you could burn 10 pounds in 12 days by eating one half of a grapefruit every day. Later, food experts discovered there was no real scientific proof of grapefruits burning off fat. However, if you did replace your potato chips or junk food with grapefruit, it could help you with weight loss. So the grapefruit is labeled the fruit of self-control. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Do not despise one another except with constant for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. This one could really be a daily test for us, especially when we have to drive or stand in line to pay for something or waiting in line. People will just knock you down. Once you start to enter into a relationship with God, this one area where you've been tested quite often to see what your reaction is going to be. The reason is that we all have bad and negative qualities that have to go. The only way that we will be able to control some of these desires and of the flesh is by having self-control. Due to our fallen and sinful nature, all of us are weak in some areas of self-control. And Satan knows how to make it hard on us. Here's some definitions of self-control. Be able to master personal desires and passion. Call for a self-disciplined life following Christ's example of being in the world but not of the world. Restrain our discipline. Exercise over one's behavior. So all of the above nine definitions of each of these nine fruits gives you a better description of what each one of them is all about. And that's why God the Father really wants us to work on each of these fruits into our personality. They are very powerful, and they not only have the ability to change us, transform us, but they have the ability to touch all of those around you. These fruits come directly from God, and they will be His love, His goodness, His joy, His peace that will start to flow into you. But we still have to do our part in all of this. I mean, a major part. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5 that our flesh and spirit will war against each other in this world. Let's turn to my last verse, Galatians 5, verse 24 and 26. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading in every part of our life. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or be jealous of one another. So, brethren, as we struggle every day in this present evil world, let us try to attain and use the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we talked about today. And may that fruit help us to grow in the type of human being that will be picked for the world tomorrow.